dream won't always be someday, but one day it'll be a reality. By now, I've never seen heaven, never seen it, but by faith, I believe the words of my Lord. I believe there is a place called heaven that he did go to prepare for those that trust in him and believe in him. But there'll come a day when I will no longer need that faith that I've got in my heart this morning, because that faith will give way to a reality. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen as yet. But when my feet touch those streets of gold, Brother Clay Brewer, I won't have to have faith to believe in something I have never seen. It'll no longer be evidence of things hoped for, but it'll be a reality. And I intend today to keep my faith firm in Jesus Christ and the hope of heaven alive in my heart until faith and hope one day gives way to the reality that'll be given to me through the Lord Jesus Christ. Anybody on their way to heaven today? Praise God. What a reunion. What a reunion awaits us on that side. The offering today was $945. May the Lord bless you for your giving, and trust that he will do that. As we've already said today, we're glad to have all of our visitors, several folks visiting here with us today. We're glad you're here. Make you welcome in the house of the Lord, and trust the Lord will speak to your heart today. We're reading from the book of Luke, chapter number 7 today. The book of Luke, chapter number 7, and we'll begin reading in verse number 36, and we'll read down through verse number 50 to the conclusion of the chapter. Luke chapter 7 and verse number 36. Brother Smith this morning in his teaching to us was teaching us about Pharisees, and he'll make some of this more clear today and give you a good understanding of some things that I won't have to go in depth about today. But I think it'll increase our understanding to what I'm trying to drive home into our heart today. Book of Luke chapter 7 and verse number 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him, speaking of Jesus, that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment. And she stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. And when the Pharisees, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself. Now, I want you to notice this today. He does not say it out loud, but he speaks within himself in his thought life. He says, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answering said unto him, "Simon, I have somewhat to say to thee." And he saith, "Master, say on." Jesus then speaks to him and says, "There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly," that means he freely, "forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most?" Simon answered and said, "I suppose that he to whom much he forgave most." And he said unto him, "Thou hast rightly judged." And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, "Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. Mine head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many." Anybody be able to relate to that today? "Her sins, which are many, are forgiven, For she loveth much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. Thy sins are forgiven. And they sat at meat with him, begin to say within themselves. Notice again, they say within themselves. They don't say it out loud. They say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? They'd seen him do mighty works, but they asked this question, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said unto the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Let's ask the Lord to help us today. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to stand in this pulpit today and share this word that you've laid upon our heart. I pray today, Lord, that it would be a word in season to somebody in this house today, that you would send conviction in this place and make up that which we lack today. Help us to say what you'd have us to say, nothing more and nothing less, and grip the hearts of men and women today and bring us closer to you. And if you'll do these things, we give you the praise and the honor and the glory. For it's in the name of Jesus that we pray, and the church said amen. Y'all say it a little louder if I can hear you. Amen. Amen. That sounds good. Praise God. I love this story here today. I really do. It's one that I often read from. I've preached from it. Heard a lot of people preach from it. Nothing new today that you have not heard before from this. But I just want to share it with you today and stir up your pure mind by the way of remembrance. And if the Lord will help me today, I want to preach to us on sins forgiven. Sins forgiven. Sins forgiven. Are you glad your sins was forgiven? Some of you kind of glad. Are you glad your sins was forgiven? Sins. Sins, plural. He said of her, her sins was many. I think this is a subject today that we all can identify with. If you're here today and you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you can identify with what I'm going to preach to you about today, because we all have experienced that need to have our sins forgiven, to have our sins put in under the blood of Jesus Christ. I do not know the condition of everybody's heart in this place today. Some of you I know better than others, and I know some things about you, but I do not know everybody in depth, inward and outward, here today in this congregation. But without knowing you in depth, I am sure of one thing today, and that is we've all either had the need to have our sins forgiven, or we have the need to have our sins forgiven and put in under the blood of Jesus Christ. It's the Word of God. The Word of God expressly tells us. He tells us in the book of Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, wherefore, as by one man, speaking of Adam, sin entered into the world, and death comes by sin, and death by sin. Sin entered the world by one man. Death came into the world by sin. And so death passed upon all men. For the scripture said, for that all have sinned. Every person alive today has sinned. It's the word of God. The Bible said in the book of Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, for everyone, every person is included in this statement. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We don't like to talk about it. We don't like to admit it. But let's get honest today. How many people raise your hand and say, preacher, I have sinned before and come short of the glory of God? All of us, every one of us in this place today have sinned and came up short of the glory of God. I say amen to the Apostle Paul when he writes that, and I have to say that includes me, and say I understand what you're writing about when you say all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But I also want to raise my voice and say amen to David in the Psalms when he wrote in chapter 86 and verse 5, and he said, for thou, Lord, art good, and ready to forgive. I love this verse. Thou, Lord, art good and are ready to forgive, plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. I have came up short. I have sinned and come short of the glory of God more than once in my life. But I've always found in Jesus a Savior that was ready to forgive me, a Savior that was plenty in mercy and ready to forgive me when I called upon Him. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I feel like preaching to you today and telling somebody in this house today that if you'll call on Jesus, if you'll call on Jesus, He will forgive you of your sin. That's all you got to do. If you call on Him, if you call on Him, if you call on His name, there's no name given in under heaven whereby men must be saved. No other name than the name of Jesus. And the scripture said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, the same shall be saved. I'm telling you today, your sins may be many. They may be dark. They may be vile. They may be things that you don't want nobody else to know that you've got in your life, but I got a guarantee for you today from the Word of God that if you'll call on Jesus, He is a Savior that is ready to forgive you where you are. The hardest thing in the day and hour that we're living in as preachers is to get people guilty. You can't get them guilty. You can't get them to admit it. You can't get them to confess to it. They won't own up to their sin. They just won't hardly do it. You can tie them in knots and preach them every which way, but you can't hardly get them to come out of that pew and say, I'm guilty. I've sinned. It's me. I've got a problem in my life. But I'll tell you, the guarantee of God's word today is this, that if we confess our sins, not just our sin, but if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you step out of your pew today, come down to this altar and say, God, I have sinned. I confess it to you today. He is a God that will keep His word and He will forgive you of your sin and cleanse you from your unrighteousness. Oh, you ain't gonna help me. John wrote and said, my little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. My God, it ought to be the absolute desire of every believer in this house today. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, it ought to be your driving motive to try to live the best you can and be the best Christian that God has called you to be. It ought to be the strive of every one of us in this place today to do our best not to sin, not to willingly sin and to fall into sin. It ought to be our desire. But He said, but and if any man sin. He doesn't say, but if any man sins. He says, and if any man sin. He said, it's going to happen. You can bank on it. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Hallelujah. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Woo! My, my, my. I believe this morning in trying your best to do the best you can. How many people agree with the preacher on that this morning? Trying your best to do the best you can. But there's something I notice in the hour we're living in. It seems like when people mess up, they give up.
They stop trying. They just throw up their hands and say, well, I made a mess of it. I might as well not try any longer. But I want to tell you today, you may have messed up. You may have messed up real bad. But I feel like preaching to you this morning, don't give up because you messed up. What you need to do is come down to the altar and there confess it to Jesus and get it forgiven and go home for God. Do you want up? That's the question I need to preach to you today. Do you want up? Do you want up? Do you want out of the mess you got yourself into? If you don't want out of it, God will leave you in it. He won't drag you out of it. He won't force you out of it. But he'll extend to you a hand right in the middle of the mess you're in today. And he'll say to you, if you want out, I'll bring you out. If you want forgiven, I'll forgive you. If you want cleanse, I'll cleanse you. If you want it under the blood, I'll put it under the blood. If you want forgiveness, I'm a Savior that stands ready to forgive. I'm preaching to somebody in this house today. You've got a load of guilt on your shoulders, but I'm telling you at this hour today, you can trade that burden of guilt for a freedom of forgiveness if you want it.
Ask her. Ask this woman in this text. Ask her, is Jesus a Savior who forgives? Ask her about it. Look at the Bible today. Let me go on here. Look at the Bible today. Look at the Word of God. The Word of God is very clear. It's very clear. It's crystal clear concerning her condition. Listen what the Bible said. A woman in the city which was a sinner. Woo! A woman in the city which was a sinner. That's what the Bible said about her. She was a sinner. The Bible gives us more in-depth insight into the thoughts of the religious man whose house these events unfold. We're in the house of Simon the Pharisee, the religious man. And he says in his own mind, where nobody can hear what he says but Jesus. Nobody can hear him but Jesus. But Jesus hears it loud and clear. And Simon the Pharisee says, this man, speaking of Jesus, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. Y'all say amen to that? Amen. Hallelujah. You know, it's one thing when they start talking about who you are. But when they do like Simon the Pharisee and they go from that category of who to what. Simon says he don't understand who she is and what she is. He goes so far as to degrade her from a person. From someone, by hanging the name of who on her, to putting her in a category of something and saying she's what she is. Not just who she is, but what she is. I don't know exactly what she was, but I know she had a reputation that absolutely was haunting her, that was following her everywhere she went. She had a past. People knew who and what she had been. But here's what I like about this woman today. And here's something I draw strength from. What courage did it take for this woman with a past and a bad reputation? She knew what them self-righteous people in that house thought about her. She had probably overheard them talk about how bad of a woman she was. But even though she knew exactly how they felt about her, and even though she knew how much they looked down on her and how little they cared about her, she found enough courage to push past all of that and make her way to Jesus right in the middle of that self-righteous multitude.
Woo! Oh, help me today, Lord. Would you help me, Lord? I'm telling you what courage. I think that took some courage, Brother Clay. She walked right up to one of the most absolutely self-righteous houses in the village, Brother Raleigh. A place where she was not welcome. A place where she was not wanted. A place where the people in that church didn't want her kind in their church. They didn't want that name that was associated with what she had been. But she went to that church anyway. She went down to that house anyway. Because she wasn't going because of them. She is going because somebody said Jesus is down in that house. Somebody said Jesus is at Simon the Pharisee's house. I'm a sinner. I've got a bad reputation. They don't want people like me at Simon's house, but Jesus is there. I ain't going for Simon. I'm going for Jesus. Simon don't care, but Jesus cares. Simon hates people like me, but Jesus loves people like me. Simon holds my past over my head, but Jesus forgives me of my past. I want to ask you, did you come for Simon or did you come for Jesus? What I got to do to get you with me this morning? Whoo! How many blessings has Simon robbed us of? Simon's kept many of a sinner in their pew.
You're exactly right. You're right.
Simon has caused many of a man to live with the guilt of his failure and never overcome it. The Lord has moved in services and moved on somebody in the house to step out and obey him. But they didn't because they was worried what Simon would say. Woo! Well, I want to tell you something. Let Simon hold his grudge. I don't serve Simon. I serve Jesus. Simon can pooch his lip out and sit on the service. I don't care. I ain't serving Simon. Simon, I'm serving Jesus. Woo! Simon didn't die on the cross for me. Jesus died on the cross for me. Simon can't take me to heaven, but Jesus can take me to heaven. And I ain't gonna let Simon drag me to hell when Jesus is trying to pull me to heaven. Woo! Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. She goes right in the middle, right in the middle of people that does not want her. And there she gets an experience with God that changes her life. What does it keep some of you from stepping out and obeying the Lord? What keeps some people from coming to the altar? Worried? Well, they know what I am and they know what I've done and they know where I... Y'all ain't going to help me today, are you? Going to make me struggle. Whoo! What is it when the Lord bids you come to the altar? And we don't step out and come to him. What is it that keeps us from coming? What Simon thinks? Is a preacher that bad off this morning? Oh my, my. You all ain't going to help me. What a contrast. What a contrast. Christ sets here before us in this. Concerning his own church. Josh touched on this some this morning. Some trust, like Simon, they trust in themselves. They trust in their own goodness. While others, like this woman, have their trust in Jesus and in Jesus alone. Where's your faith at this morning? Where's our faith at this morning? I tell you where mine's in Jesus. and Jesus alone. This church can't save nobody. Come on, somebody shout amen. This church can't save nobody. My faith's not in the four walls of this church. My faith is in Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ alone. Y'all say amen to that today? Let me hurry up. I'm reminded of the Pharisee and the publican that Christ told about in Luke 18. Do y'all remember that? Let me just rehash it to you real quick. The Bible said, Jesus said, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted themselves and were righteous and despised others. How does that work? Somebody tell me how this works. How does this work that you can be righteous and despise others? Y'all quiet on me today. What y'all get quiet for? Y'all believe that? Somebody shout amen. They are righteous in themselves and they despise others. And he said this, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone, Josh said this in teaching this morning, everyone that shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. That's exactly what happened in this text at Simon's house. Those Pharisees stood around and they criticized her and they talked about her and they discussed her sins openly among themselves. But while they was criticizing, she is getting right with God. While they was talking about her, she is getting right with the Lord. While they was discussing the fact of why she can't be a church member, she was on her way to getting on the right track, to making it all the way to heaven. I tell you what happened in Simon's house. Those bunch of religious leaders went away with the self-righteous, critical spirit that they had always had. And they absolutely denied and rejected Jesus Christ. But that little old woman with a past, that little old woman with a reputation that followed her everywhere she went, walked away from that house with God looking at her no longer as a sinner, but looking at her as a saint of God. Whoo. Simon, your righteousness in the eyes of God. Am I being too hard on y'all today? Is this all right? Whew, I ain't trying to have attitude. I'm trying to preach this. Y'all with me out there? Whew. Simon, your righteousness in the eyes of God are filthy rags. You know why? Not righteousness, self-righteousness. Self-righteous. It's as filthy rags. And this little old woman with a bad reputation and many sins. Jesus said she had many sins. Woo! When the Lord looked at her after that day, what did he see? He seen a blood-washed, forgiven child of God. And I want to tell somebody in this house, it don't matter what men say. It don't matter what they think. It don't matter what they remember. It don't matter what they say about you or their opinion about you. All that matters is how God sees you. And my God, if you've been to Calvary, if you've been to the altar, if you got your sins confessed and you got them under the blood, who cares what everybody else remembers? God don't remember it. God ain't
thinking about it. God ain't dwelling on it. God ain't bringing it back up. No, sir. When he forgave you, he forgave you freely. When he forgave you completely. When he forgave you, he put your sins as far as the east is from the west. I'm telling you today, when God forgives, he forgets.
I'm going to tell you something today. There ain't no Christian that's a true child of God going around digging up everybody else's past. Pat me on the back and say, preach, Pastor. Woo! Hallelujah. I'm telling you, when God puts it under the blood, it's under the blood. Oh, you ain't helping me today. I said, when God puts it under the blood, it's under the blood. My God, I'm telling you, there's a fountain from Calvary that can cleanse you, whether no matter how dark your sin is, no matter how vile it is, no matter how wicked it is. I'm telling you, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Let me get this real plain and simple. Everybody listening today? Woo! If somebody gets forgiveness, and then you go tell somebody what they did, you're Simon. Oh, come on now. Woo! Y'all don't believe that, or you do believe it? Come on, talk back to the preacher. You believe that today?
Yes.
Woo. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I feel some cold breezes in this house. What did Jesus teach us? If you want forgiveness, what you got to do, brethren? Simon, I'm preaching to you today. You need to let it go. Let it go. If God can forgive him, surely I can. My son didn't die for their sin, but his did. In that while we were yet sinners, oh, hallelujah, Christ died for the ungodly. My God, if he can forgive them, who are we to hold it over their head? Y'all believe this today? You're looking rough. Woo! We've lost many of a good service because people took part in a service and some busybody told us something on them that they should have never known. And we grieve the Holy Ghost of God by our talk and our unbridled tongue and our unsanctified, unforgiving spirit. We quenched the Holy Ghost of God, and God will not let that go.
You're right. Amen. That's right.
Y'all been wanting me to tighten it down. Well, I'm tightening it down. It's quiet. Woo! Y'all believe that?
Amen, sir.
Praise God. Yeah. Somebody comes to you and they say, did you hear what they done? Tell them, I don't want to hear that. Don't come back to me with that. Don't talk about that. Is it under the blood? Don't talk about it. Let's pray for them. That's the attitude the church needs, is not tell me more, but oh God, let's pray for them. What did Josh teach us in Sunday school? Real religion picks us up. It don't drag us down. And Jesus is not in the business of tearing men down. He's in the business of picking them up.
Can I get my church to help me preach a few minutes? Let's be a church that builds each other up. We've all got a past. Anybody got a past? Wave at the preacher if you got a past. Woo! Everybody's got a past. Hallelujah. We ain't worried about our past. We're worried about our future. Let's quit digging in yesterday. Let's start striving for tomorrow. Let's not talk about what we've been. Let's talk about who we can be. Woo! I ain't going back. I'm going forward. I'm going forward. Yeah, there's some things back there, but God forgave me of it. 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 I'm going over God. I know somebody started going to somebody's church a while back. Whew. Every time they get up and go down to the altar, they might not be what that preacher thinks they ought to be. But every time they get up off the altar, that preacher makes sure to tell them you're doing good. Whew. You're doing good. You're doing good. Whew. Tell me, what make you want to pray? Somebody telling you it's doing good, or somebody telling you you might as well not try. Woo! Huh? Oh, you don't believe what I'm preaching today, do you? Woo! You're doing good. Yeah, you are. You're doing good. Yeah. Yeah. My Lord God in heaven. My Lord, I tell him, I told somebody the other day, I'd rather them sit on my pews in my church, however they're dressed, whatever they look like, whatever kind of mess they've been in, I'd rather them sit there and give me a chance to preach to them as not come in the door. They ain't going to hear the gospel in the bar room. Oh, come on now. They're not going to hear the gospel out there running around with that bunch they run around with last night. Tell them to come to church. The Holy Ghost may get to moving. Jesus may show up. Conviction might just get in the house. It might just get a hold of their heart. My God, we ain't in the business of running them off. We're in the business of trying to usher men into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. We're in the business of trying to get souls saved. My God in heaven, I'm telling you today, I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done. I'm interested in you. I want you on my altars. I want you in my pews. I want to preach to you. I'm telling you, there's a Savior that can reach way down to the bottom. He can reach down in the gutter. He can reach all the way down and pull him out if we give him a chance. I was praying about some things the other day. Woo, I'm a meddling, ain't I? Can I say something as sweet as I know how? If you know somebody, something on somebody, keep it to yourself. Is that all right? How many people say that's all right, preacher? If it's an issue in the church, come tell the pastor about it before you tell everybody else. Most of the things I hear are third-handed, second, third, and fourth. Woo! They tell everybody in the church. And then when we get down to the bottom of it, most of the time it ain't the truth, no way. How many people know that? And we missed a good service because we's worked up over things that wasn't the truth anyhow. Preach on, Pastor. Preach on. Woo! Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Brother Clay, I want a spirit like Jesus called me to have. I want to forgive them and let it go. That's right. That's right.
Whew. Let me hurry up here and let you go today. Notice this. Notice something. Notice something here. Jesus tells a parable. He tells his sister Helena that one man owed 50. Another man owed 500. That's 10 times as much if I can count right. So it means one guy's in debt 10 times more than another guy. And he frankly forgives them both freely. Who loves the most? Who is it that loves the most? It's obviously that man to whom most was forgiven. Much was forgiven. That's the man that loves the most. Now, I was thinking about this. What knowledge I have of the Bible, I believe that sin is sin and sin will take you to hell. Jesus said, if you die in your sin, where I am, you cannot come. That's obvious. Whether it's lying or adultery, it'll take you to hell. That's just how it is. If it's unforgiven, unconfessed sin, you can't go to heaven with it in your life. We believe that. We understand that. Woo! But I think the difference in Simon and this little woman was the fact of how they viewed their sin. Simon didn't see his 50 all that bad. And she seen her 500 as devastating to her life. And it ain't the fact of what you done or where you been or whether your sin's worse than somebody else's sin. The fact of the matter is how do you view it? How do you see it? What's your view of sin? And I'm telling you, when you see it for the thing that it is, and you see it for the degradation that it really is, what it does is it changes of how you view the Savior. That's why Simon could care less. Simon didn't give him any water for his feet. She's down there washing him with her tears, washing him with the hair of her head. Simon didn't anoint him, but she was continually. Simon wasn't making no fuss about Jesus, but she was continually worshiping. She was continually at his feet. Her whole affection, her whole attention, everything about it was focused on Jesus, because she seen how bad she was and she seen how good Jesus was. And that's what I want to say to somebody today. Don't you see how bad it is? Don't you see how bad you was? Don't you see how good he is? Did I offend you all today?
No, sir.
My preaching been offensive to you? Look at it. Look at it. She's a sinner. He's a church man. But he's cold. He's indifferent. He's calloused. He's the first to criticize. And the last one to chip in and help.
You're exactly right.
He's the first one to bring up faults and accusations. But he's the last one in the service to push it over and see that somebody gets help. And look at her. She's a sinner. She's a bad woman. She's got a past. But she's the first one out, Brother Clay. Woo! Woo! I feel like telling somebody's house, I know you're ready to go home. I feel like telling somebody's house, you've let your past hold you back too long. Preacher, I'd step out there and make a move, but I'm afraid of what everybody would think. Woo! Hallelujah. Who cares what they think? He forgave you of what? We used to be what? Where did we used to be on Sunday morning? It wasn't in the house of God. Now you're washed. Now you're forgiven. Now you're sanctified.
Now you're just, you used to be who? You used to be what? Now what are you? My God, how can people been forgiven us so much have so little praise on their lips and on their heart? How can we whom he brought out of the depths of sin and out of the mire of sin, how can we who was only moments and days and hours away from hell when he put that roadblock up, turned our life around and got us out of the world and got us back in a church and got us straightened out and got us back on the road to hell, how can we ever cease to praise his name? Let's stand all over the house.
I did not mean to offend you today in any way. Forgive me if I was too hard on you. Let's come to the altar. The altar's open today. Listen, if you're here, you can get your sins forgiven. You can get them under the blood. You can get them under the blood today. Let's pray. This altar's open.